Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Skip, skip to my loo, skip, skip, skip to my loo, skip, skip, skip to my loo, skip to my loo, my darling.
Hello and welcome to the wickedly talented Furious 7, a movie from the latter part of the Fast and Furious franchise as it exists at the present moment. We've got some missing pieces, actually. My name's Tim Batt.
My name's Guy Montgomery.
The name of this podcast is The Worst Idea of All Time, and we're so glad that you could be here.
Are you talking to the listener, or are you talking to me? Are you representing a collective who are saying to Guy, we're so glad that you could be here?
The listener and I are so glad that, Guy, you could be here.
Well, can I say on behalf of myself and the listener, it's a pleasure to have your company too.
Oh, that's good to hear.
And to the listener, on behalf of Tim and I, we are so glad that you can be here.
Rufus is also here eating random detritus, garage detritus.
Yeah, he's indifferent. He's indifferent to all of our presence. He loves you.
Rufus does.
Do you think dogs love their owner?
Yeah, I think so. A version of it, for sure. Mm. Yes. Actually, I think it's probably quite similar to a kind of loyal human love, familial love.
Do you think cats love their owners?
I mean, based on everything I've heard, no. It seems like they don't.
Not like dogs.
I think cats have their own way. Cats have their own version of connection, but I don't think it's the same as doggies.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I don't really believe in viewing the world through as binary, but there is, you know, as I grow older, I do see that you do have your cat people and your dog people.
Yeah.
And they both believe...
The two genders.
Yeah. They both believe that their animal is superior and their relationship is more unique.
That's why everyone goes so crazy about how you've got to... If you're a dog person, you've got to use that bathroom. If you're a cat person, you've got to use that bathroom. I say, can't we just have one bathroom, guys? What are you guys doing in there?
Well...
This is crazy-making stuff.
As someone who uses the cat bathroom and formerly used the dog bathroom, it's the same stuff.
Well, there you go. It's demystified for everyone.
Shits and pisses. The Guy Montgomery story.
Shits and pisses, hits and misses. Is this a hit or a miss, this movie, Furious 7?
Well, I feel like last time I saw it, it was a hit.
Yeah, you were over the moon watching this thing.
It was a hit in an altogether unfamiliar and exciting way. This is our fifth screening of Fast 7, which, before I even discuss the movie itself, excites me somewhat in that... It's still a lot of times to watch one movie, 7 times.
Yeah.
5 times even is quite a few.
Yes.
But like, I like the way that we've stacked it. The workloads are becoming more manageable. Today's screening, Tim,
I don't like hearing that.
Okay.
That it's more manageable, you know?
I mean, this is our cat person versus dog person.
Yes, it is.
Essence of man conversation, whereby you are convinced... For this, or not any creation, I suppose, any artistic creation, any endeavor,
not all, but
this endeavor, is built on the foundation of
misery, really.
Yes, and I believe that between us, we are capable of greatness through the medium of enjoying ourselves.
We'll never know.
But so I did think, wow, I can't believe I only have to watch this movie two more times. And I did think this is a watchable movie, but I did also think I wish I was where I was at last week.
Imagine for a moment if we were watching Fast 9, because it would be for the 23rd time. Imagine that.
I did.
Think about that.
I don't think it renders orally or even visually for those of us on the Substack, but I felt nauseous.
Today?
Just now.
Oh, that thought.
Literally, the visualization game you just created for us.
Yes.
Even the thought of watching it again once made me feel like really fearful, quite panicked. I couldn't do that.
You had a real physiological response.
There's a reason we're not doing it.
Fight or flight?
Flight.
You run away.
I'm flight, I think. I'm flight anyway, but in this instance, I cannot fly hard and fast enough.
Yeah.
What about you? I mean, first of all, you were probably not where I was at last week.
No.
Physically or mentally.
Quite obviously.
Tell me about your feelings after seeing this movie for the fifth time.
The thing that just kept going through my head of all of this watch was, what a tremendous waste of time this whole thing is. The whole podcast.
Mm.
That's the thing that I kept thinking about. What a tremendous waste of time.
Whose time?
Mine.
Mm.
All of these movies are so long that we watch. We Are Your Friends was the closest we had to like a short movie, I think.
I actually meant to take a photo of my YouTube movie purchases.
Mm.
The last three Fast and the Furious movies and We Are Your Friends.
And you had to buy at least one of those a couple of times, right?
Yeah, yeah. But that's it. Oh, and Spellbound, when I was doing research for Spelling Bee, I bought the...
that documentary.
The Spellbound
about
documentary,
the...
yeah.
Hey, that movie's real good. I remember seeing it at the cinema at the Doc Fest.
Wow.
Years ago.
That would be years and years ago. Yeah, that movie
that
is
rips.
Good.
I can still remember that little boy who was kind of made out to be the star.
I'd like to circle back. It's a waste of your time, you say.
Oh, okay.
Do you think it's a waste of my time?
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah, I do. It would be quite, I think, mean.
This is sort of what I'm driving at. Whose time do you value more out of our respective times?
Well, mine, but okay. That's because I am me.
That is a refreshing way of putting it.
I think that you should respect your time more than you respect mine. We should have respect for one another's time, but I think on the priorities of things, you should be respecting your own time the most.
Well, you know,
don't
Tim,
you think?
Well, I think that for 2 hours and 20 minutes every week for the past, I don't know, 9 + 8 + 5 weeks, we've not been doing that. We've not been respecting our or each other's time.
And yeah, that's true.
Do you consider this to be a waste of the listener's time?
Well, that's always my fear. That's always the fear. However, I hasten to add, it's a very different thing for them because they don't have to watch the movie.
No.
In fact, our sole libertarian listener, and thank you so much for continuing to listen to this, you just get the output, which is still, I think, in a lot of people's, you know, if you ask Joe Punter on the street, you gave them the rundown and said, does this sound like a waste of time? They'll probably say yes on average.
Okay, well,
but it's not as big a waste of time as what we're doing.
Well, what makes it worthy? Or, I mean, to use the same measurables, let's consider the Fast and the Furious films, which obviously have a far greater reach and connection point than our podcast. You know, to one person watching, that would be a waste of time. To another person, that would be a worthy 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Like Joseph Moore, for example.
Exactly. So do you think that in the same way you think our podcast could be considered a waste of time, do you think the Fast and the Furious franchise could be considered a waste of time?
That I am not willing to concede. I think it is demonstrated by its popularity, profitability, and cultural resonance that it is not a waste of time as a thing.
So, and what's the value that you prioritize there? Is it the resonance? the cultural resonance is what makes it of value.
I think you measure, unfortunately, in film, you measure that in money. So sort of profitability and cultural resonance, while not, you know, interchangeable, have a big connection.
They operate in tandem.
Here's what I wanted to get into, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
If I may?
Mm-hmm.
May I?
Because mm-hmm.
if you want to keep going on this.
No.
And it's sort of connected, but last night, the YouTube algorithm offered me up someone's video essay about Vin Diesel. In fact, it might have started autoplaying while I was doing my taxes. And what I learned in this 14 minute story.
It's not short.
No, they just play out, man. I got complicated taxes.
Is someone talking to camera?
No, it's all voiceover, and it's like clips of Vin, red carpets, media interviews.
How young did you see Vin?
Real young, and some of them. So here's the thing, man. Here's the fucking thing. So Vin Diesel, right, you know, I think I had this idea in my head that he was, you know, a bouncer and
can I tell you a rhyme I just thought of? I was trying to remember the gross name I came up for Vin Diesel, but I couldn't.
Come, Vincent's come. Oh, something, it was like something a name like, for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, okay. But all I came up with then, yeah, it was, again, it's very cummy, but it was Vin Diesel cum weasel.
Vin Diesel the cum weasel. Yeah, that's right. Good. Yeah. That sticks.
It's not bad. Anyway, you got a young Vin Diesel.
Yeah, so his story was, which I didn't realise.
Good news, everyone.
A courier has arrived.
There's a package.
I actually bet a sign for that, because they keep leaving. Hold on.
That's all right.
Watch the space.
Yeah, yeah. While Tim and Rufus deal with the intruder, I would like all of you at home to place a wager on whether or not you think this package is for Tim or his wife, Dr. Zoe. I feel like they probably both get a similar amount of packages. I've been with Tim before and he gets packages. But I think Zoe, you know, Zoe's not afraid of a package either. I'm going to say this one's for Tim. Now, at our house, if you're asking if it's Chelsea or Guy's package, you'd be saying 9 times out of 10, that's a Chelsea package. The only time I actually think to buy something that arrives in a package is usually after Chelsea's received 9 packages and I'm jealous that I never get anything in the mail. Except bills. Who is the package for?
This fucking guy. I'm sorry for that. Well, I hope... I wish it was for you, Guy.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
But it wasn't. It was for Zoe.
Oh, I lost.
Yeah, you did.
Who gets more packages?
Zoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By what ratio?
Well, it depends. At the moment, I'm on a tear. I've ordered so much stuff. I'm waiting to get delivered. Yeah. I'm setting someone else's podcast studio up. So I'm getting all little bits from all over the shop.
Lovely.
So
we've got a young Vincenzo cum weasel.
Yeah, exactly, man. He had two parents who were like artists, and his dad was an acting teacher.
Aye.
And I think his mum might have been a painter. So he like grew up in this environment of, you know, artistic pursuit from day one. And I think he really wanted to be an actor, and sort of the thesis of this little video essay that someone had made about his life was that early on in his career, he was sort of racially ambiguous in his look in a way where it constantly made him miss out on roles. And he was sort of always between these character types of, like, he was a big guy, but he sort of wanted to play... He got cast, for example, in sort of characters that were racial stereotypes of ethnicities that I don't think he even is a part of, and felt very uncomfortable about it. This led to him writing in one night his own short film called Multifacet, I think it's called. And he went and made it, and it's the story of a racially ambiguous actor having trouble getting like roles that he actually wants.
I've got nothing but respect for this story so far.
Right? Yeah. Featuring two monologues, one that he gives as, I think he gets cast as sort of this Italian stereotype and has to portray that and doesn't feel very comfortable about it. And then there's another monologue.
Why not?
Uh-oh, here he is. Which is like a very sort of sensitive portrayal of a more close to home, I think, you know, character to Vin as a person.
Yeah.
And so he made that, released it at like maybe Sundance or something it got into. And that's how Steven Spielberg discovered him to put him in Saving Private Ryan, which was his first on-screen big movie role. So Saving Private Ryan and The Iron Giant came out, I think, within a year of each other. And I think Iron Giant was first, where he voiced the big robot.
Yeah.
And two massive films.
Yeah.
Like Saving Private Ryan's, quite legendary. So that was, yeah. And I was just like, then I felt like a dick for all the shit that I've laid at the feet of this man who has desperately been trying to be treated seriously as an artist and an actor.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Both of these things can be true at once. He obviously, that is a very interesting and quite inspiring sort of origin story, I suppose, for the version of Vincenzo that we come up against now, which is, the artist is still in him. Obviously, he likes to sing, and he's got his side projects.
It totally recontextualized Dom Toretto for me, though.
Did it?
Well, all of these moments, because we know how much creative power he has on the series now as one of the key producers. There's, he's inserting sensitivity into this tough guy character, or at the very least trying to give this kind of complicated portrayal of a tough man with a big heart.
Does it? It makes you sort of, it opens up the idea of a bigger question about, like, every great actor or, musician or all these people who say you grow up and they are already a star.
Yeah.
Or by the time you discover them, they're already super established. Possibly even their stars on the wane, or like the creative value of what they're putting out into the world is no longer regarded with the same enthusiasm or excitement as their original art it's the journey for every artist. And what I wonder about Vin is, you say he's a creator and he's an artist and he's got a lot of control over these, and whether or not inside of some artists they've also got like a huge a commercial drive, I guess, or like, well, they're like, okay, obviously I've found a point of connection with people.
Yeah.
So how do I exploit this?
Let's, for argument's sake, call this type of person The Rock. Because it's kind of like they maybe lack a little flesh and blood. They're a little more cold-hearted. So we'll call them, for argument's sake, The Rock.
Okay. And is that a reference to The Rock, or that's just because of the rock-like qualities of this hypothetical person?
Oh, no, I didn't
even
think of that.
Oh.
That didn't even cross my mind.
What a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, I mean, has Vin Diesel ever been on WTF with Marc Maron?
Fucking good question. I'd love to give it a listen. I don't know if he does.
Pods?
I don't know. I don't know if he does long-form interviews. But I was seeing little clips of him like early on in Letterman and stuff, and you could tell this was a man who was so satisfied and happy that he'd finally start to make it.
This inspires me to do a bit of a deep dive on YouTube. Also maybe of Paul Walker, who I'm loving more and more.
Oh,
and
man.
That's so nice.
I was going to say, well, that's sad, but actually for us, it's kind of okay because we're going backwards.
Yeah, the emotional intensity of the closing sequence, even if, like, today the movie was kind of happening to me, it was a bit of a challenge for me. But as soon as...
Those shots that pull away, from each character. They'll have, like, just front-on shot, and you see Letty, and then the camera pulls away from her, and it's... They do it with everyone. Mm. It's powerful stuff. It feels like Paul Walker's floating away.
That song, created for the moment in the movie, incredible. I was actually reading a little on Screen Rant.
Oh, please.
About just the way in which the story had to change, because they were halfway through production when he passed.
Was it that? I thought they were like, at the end, toward the end?
Well, they
hadn't rapped or anything.
They hadn't rapped, and they were going to shit can it, but they'd filmed a lot of his, they'd filmed like his scene where he sees Dom, they'd covered off a lot of that.
Mm.
And so, and obviously killing him Brian dying in the world of the movie was a bit on the nose and a bit too heavy-handed. I was trying to sort of, I guess, recontextualize the franchise's relationship to him in Fasts 8 and 9. Like, it's in Fast 9 when Mia appears again. Is Mia in Fast 8? Mia's not in Fast 8. Because
wait a minute. When they're in the bunker,
The Bunkers in Fast 9. That's with John Cena.
Fuck, you're right.
And because she arrives and he says, Mia, what are you doing here? Where's Brian? And Brian's with the kids. And Mia's like,
Mia's
I need to be
at
here.
All, is she?
Yeah.
We really should know. This,
and because
this,
this is the thing.
We should
and because
know
they,
this.
They didn't, they don't really, see, you know, like Cypher, who we are like, is a big part of the Fast universe. And I remember Joseph laughing at us,
yes.
at me, especially being like, oh, the villain Cypher. And he's like, you think Cypher's a big deal? Cypher's not shit. Like, Cypher's not really, God's Eye is planted in Fast 7.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the feature of what, that's what drives Cypher in Fast 8.
Yeah.
But Cypher's not teased out. There's no knowledge. You
Moses
know.
Kind of occupies a similar space. And I don't think we've mentioned him twice on
yeah.
this whole podcast yet.
And so, but I think what was going to happen is there was a, the ending was, in terms of storytelling, was similar. And that, you know, it was, but it was more going to be like an open-ended question of whether or not Brian would still be a part of the family in terms of like teaming up and saving the world.
Uh-huh.
Because he learned in Fast 7 that his true commitment is to his family, his growing brood. And so instead of it being an open-ended question, they just closed the question and said, this is what his priority is, Brian.
Right.
His family.
Oh, so... And,
and
so,
then, yeah, and then...
So
I mean,
did they
then
explain this, that tension was going to remain of, like, domestic life versus...
Yeah, yeah, that was... But, you know, but obviously... And, so obviously that means that when you get to Fast 8, you can be like, oh... Brian's not going to come, and then you create a problem that requires Brian, and then Brian comes. But instead, you know, they never get Brian. But then
I guess that does explain a little
why,
bit more why his car pulls up at
that's
the barbecue.
Right. And Fast 9, that's why there was that YouTube comment with the person who got who gets wet eyes when they see this.
Yeah, wet eyes.
And, you know, I wonder if we watch them in order, whether or not we too might get wet eyes.
We get wet eyes watching the montage right now, so
yeah.
I'd say probably yes.
I do get misty eyes.
That's the right way to put that, by the way. If you want to describe the onset of tears by virtue of having an emotional response to something, wet eyes just isn't quite right.
Well, I think it's actually better. I think it's a more direct description. I think misty eyes is a little bit wanky. It's a bit sort of
bit cliche.
Esoteric. It's like, you know, you're
it's
not
describing...
You're not... Yeah, but that's... You're not just... That's... It's not necessary. You're not describing the baseline biological experience. You don't cry mist. You cry wet.
You heard it here first, folks.
I don't know if that's quite what I wanted to say. There was something else. I'm trying to circle back. There was something else I wanted to bring up about my screening of Fast 7 today. It's just out of reach. I will say I have a shining light that I might as well, while I'm trying to reach for this memory further back in my mind, I might as well share with you.
Oh, sure.
If you're interested.
I actually am.
Well, that's good.
This just in, guy. I want to hear what your shining light is. Shining light.
First of
it's
all,
a
this, it's,
shining
it's,
light.
This isn't a shining light, but it's a moment I would like to give credit to, which is when Dom arrives in Tokyo, which is quite early in the film. We've both been responsible for hanging a bit of shit on the soundtracking to this movie. And actually, that song, which was commissioned for it, the See You Again, Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth, that's part of what makes me wet-eyed.
Is that Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah.
From The Towers? This makes
that's,
sense.
Yeah,
it makes perfect
yeah, it's
sense.
It's all very neat and tidy. But I've always been quite harsh on the soundtracking of these films. But there is a song, there's a DJ Shadow song that plays in the background. I think it's a remix. When Dom arrives in Tokyo, and like it's the only time really I can think of in the movie
Damn,
when there's a song there's a song playing and I think I want to turn it up and hear the song nearly every time. I'm like, no, not like the you know, but in this instance I was like, wow. And so this isn't the shining light, but I just do have to give credit to the film.
Let's acknowledge the one good bit of soundtrack
just
in
well
it.
It's not even, you know, it's probably not fair, just for a piece of soundtrack that aligns with my own personal taste.
Look at us mealy mouth fucks trying to find some nice things to say about the movie.
What my shining light was
and Vin.
Is when Roman is doing the birthday routine, which is obviously, I don't know if it's happened on camera in the Fast universe, but the way that Ludacris...
Get this, cats. We're in the Wiz Khalifa Towers and everyone's got a special job. Ludacris needs to hack with... Ramsey, the system, so that we can get access to the boost, the car,
which
the
is
hypercar.
In a, which is in a locked room, and the people who are going to go and get to the beast are
Paul Walker and Vin Diesel.
That's right.
There's only seven of these cars that exist in the world, and Ramsey's friend, Dang it. I keep wanting to say Ramesh. That's not it, but it's very close.
I don't know. I've never even thought that character has a name.
They say it a few times. And he's awesome.
Good on them. And good on him. Yeah, what does he say? God's eye. Two towers, no good. 3 hours, a pleasure or something.
He's like, I got you an invitation to the hottest party in town, and how do you repay me? You crash the host's car out of the tower, out of two towers, and then fucking Paul Walker's little cheeky little asshole.
It's three towers.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
Two towers, no good. Three towers, my honor.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You like it?
He's funny.
Yeah.
But sorry, I know we're on a tangent, but there is a fucking line, and I wrote down the time code because I was actually going to try and isolate the audio and play it for you on this. Sorry, didn't get
there.
Yeah. I was setting up some other stuff. What does that guy say when Roman and Tej are like fighting over Ramsay when she's coming out of the water in slow motion?
Oh, wait, no, sorry, maybe it is that scene. Yeah, yeah.
And he comes, this is his first appearance, I think, in the movie, and he says something like, I tried my balls on Ramsay and tried to call dibs. It didn't work. And I've tried so many times to hone in on exactly what the fuck he's saying.
Well, you've...
I even rewound it, and I was looking for a caption button, and there isn't on the version I've bought. There's no captions on Google TV one.
Maybe on the YouTube one that I paid a little more for.
Well, pull it up, because I've got the time code, man.
Yeah, it sounds good.
I'm so sorry I derailed where
you were
going, but this is important to me.
I can still remember it. Your movies... Fast and the Furious.
Sophia. That's his name, Sophia.
And what's the...
Okay, an hour and 8 minutes and basically 0 seconds. It's like just a little bit after an hour and eight.
Oh, no, it's a little bit before then. Here we go. Oh, Ramsay's coming out of the ocean.
Okay, can you full screen and put captions on? You crushed it. There it is.
2 years ago.
Her name, my balls? What is he saying there?
Here, I'll play the audio.
Put the captions on, too.
You can't. I can't put the captions on.
I got dibs on that. You see me looking at that. Did you just say dibs? What are you, in the fourth grade? Man, can you just get out of there? Man, it's a free market. What are you talking about? Get out of there. Free. Rock, paper, scissors for it.
Are you guys for real right now? Look at you. You both look whooped already. You got stalker eyes.
I tried to call dibs on Ramsay 2 years ago. Ernie, my balls... You don't want to do that.
Her knee, my balls.
Her knee. Oh!
She need him in the balls.
That's fucking great. All right, sick. Thanks, man.
No, it's a pleasure.
Mystery solved.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I like when he's doing the birthday routine, everyone's in comms, everyone's doing their jobs, and someone says, okay, Roman, it's time for you to do what you do, which is basically make a distraction. And he goes up to someone.
Shine brightly is the line from Tej.
And he says,
what's that? Shine brightly, like only you can.
He goes up to someone and says, your name's Priscilla, right? It's your birthday. And this woman's sort of confused. And then you cut back and we see Tej and Ramsey in their little room. And Tej goes, oh, not the birthday routine. Like, the birthday routine.
He's seen this before.
It's a classic routine. I don't know if we'll see it in the universe or not. But then he starts making a big song and dance. He takes T-Pain's microphone off from T-Pain's DJing. And he's like, I need to take this. He's like, everybody, it's the birthday. And the bit that was my shining light is he sort of, he's making a bit of a meal of it. He's doing a lot, but he starts singing happy birthday. And at one point he starts like really, it's the sort of singing you do when you're at home by yourself and you're just playing around with your voice and you sort of what noises you can make and stuff. And he does one where he goes, happy birthday to yo.
Yo.
It's like a goat's bleat kind of.
It's like an attempt at a yodel.
And it is like, you know, you want to talk about shining brightly like only you can. The self-confidence to not only interrupt this huge party in a foreign, you know, in a new land where you don't know anyone.
Yeah.
But to do it in a way where you're also in a position to experiment with, you know, like you're so free inside of the moment that you're just playing around with your vocal range and...
I think this is seconds before Letty and Ronda Rousey fall off the balcony onto the piano.
I just thought it was...
it's a great moment.
It was neat.
Yeah, it's memorable. It's very memorable, that little note. And you know that was improv, because there's no way to write that.
You've got to imagine. Do you have a...
Yeah, man. For me today, it was Vin Diesel fighting Jason Statham. It just really fucking... spoke to me today.
The main fight.
The second one.
The big fight.
The big fight.
The street
at
fight.
The end. Real blue tint, which has always been there, obviously, but I didn't notice on the final kind of act of the movie when we've got all of the stuff with the drone and Moses is like controlling God's eye and sending like predator fucking drones out and missiling them and they're having to play hot potato with Ramsey while she's hacking them. Real blue tint. Anyway, there's a real cool fight scene. You've seen it. You've seen it a couple times at this point. Between Dom Toretto and fucking Deckard Shaw.
Yeah.
Which begins... So this is in reference to an earlier scene in the movie. But he says, you thought this was going to be a street fight?
Yeah.
You're goddamn right it is. Because the first time it was Jason Statham saying that. And he said, you thought this was going to be a street fight? And then he pulls out a gun. It ain't. But this time... Dom Toretto's in charge, a man of honor.
Yeah.
And it is a street fight. And he's fighting with two big spanners.
That's right.
He's, just fucking automotive wrenches.
He's turned the explosives man into a metal bar man.
Yeah, General Explosives pulls bits of metal off the car, which he's just crashed. And so he's just got two big metal sticks. And they fucking go almost literally hammer and tongs at each other.
That's pretty cool.
It rules. It's a really good fight. It's a good fucking fight.
I enjoyed, I enjoyed Brian's, Paul Walker's fight scenes with a parkour guy.
Yeah, you love that.
I'm learning to enjoy them even more.
Mm.
And I actually also enjoyed the shot of when the bus is overhanging the cliff.
Yep.
And Brian,
the Italian job.
Yeah.
Suspension.
And he gets out the caddy, the front part of the bus, and he's sort of
cab?
Like. Yeah, the cab, and he's pulling himself up, and he slips, and then you get like a great shot from, you know, the bird's eye view of him dangling by one arm, and you see the sheer drop beneath him, and I kind of enjoyed that stunt. I'm trying to use what we're doing as a way of admiring action stunts more, or
nice.
Like, I guess maybe wrapping my head around a little bit more the technical components of what they're doing.
Literally, how do you get this shit done? You know, so I read quite a lot about the hypercar, which I've already forgotten the name of last time on Wikipedia. Yeah. And they got like 10 or maybe 12 models commissioned of it by, I think, the company that makes them, but out of different materials. So it was way less expensive for them to keep crashing them. You know the bit when it does crash out of the Wiz Khalifa Towers and then it falls on the ground? That bit looks fake, eh? When it does that little roll, it's like the weight isn't quite right. Do you reckon that's CGI?
I'd have to rewatch it to form
Man,
a...
it stuck out to me every time. It rolls real weird.
It rolls weird.
Real low light for Timbo. The physics on that fucking supercar falling out of the Wiz Khalifa Towers, I'm not buying it, guys. Also, which speaks to how like good the rest of the movie is in terms of
that
action
you're willing
sequences.
To suspend it.
Well, that one sticks out so much.
Yeah,
it's like,
I did notice
did
as well
job.
Today... they force Romans, when they do the airplane, the parachuting cars stunt. Yeah. When Romans, they hit the parachute on Romans' car, which flies out the back of the plane and sucks him out.
Yes.
But then when his car comes out, his car's rolling really hard. And I can't help but wonder, like, would that not entangle... His car's like rolling like crazy. Would it not entangle the ropes that are connected to the parachute and possibly mangle? You know, everyone else doesn't hit their chute until they're less than 1,000 feet to the ground.
It's true. They all wait very specifically to be quite
close.
He
shows up a lot later. So obviously they're accounting for the fact that it's going to take longer for his car to get down because he's floating the whole way. But I just feel like the way it's rolling, I'm like, I reckon that would fuck your parachute, bro.
I think you're right. And I also think it looked cool.
Yeah.
And deserve to be in the movie.
Yeah.
Do you think that Fast 10's going to win any Oscars? We haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Has a Fast movie ever won an Oscar for like special effects?
Doubt it. It's a real hole that, isn't it? Like the Oscars, I'm not an expert. You know who is? Fucking Joseph Moore.
Yeah.
Seem to ignore true blockbuster cinema.
They're trying to split. They're kind of trying to split the difference at the moment. I feel like in an effort because the Oscars haven't been, their cultural reach has shrunk somewhat.
Has a Marvel movie ever got, maybe special effects probably?
Oh, I know that Wakanda Forever was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh yeah, okay.
Which was a breakthrough moment.
That's huge.
They do sort of do that thing where they, you know, All the little bittier ones that usually like a blockbuster would win for like special effects or stunts or whatever they do in the ads, which is, you know.
Yeah, they do now. They didn't used to. It's savage,
it's
man.
It's brutal. There's a lovely little bit of narrative. It's a sports thing, but allow me. The NBA draft. So the best player in the NBA right now is a guy called Nikola Jokic, who's I believe he's Serbian. He's like, he came from Europe and he's like.
Who's he play for?
He plays for the Denver Nuggets. He's unbelievable. And he's got a lovely little, it's a very small moment in his origin story. Like he was drafted, he was going to be like a role player. No one realized that he was going to be the best player in the league. And when he got drafted with something like the 45th pick in the second round, which is quite late in terms of the draft, in NBA terms anyway. And they didn't play his draft pick. He got drafted during a Taco Bell commercial for something called like a quesarito, which is like a fusion between the quesadilla and a burrito. And it's just this lovely detail that everyone talks about and remembers about. It's like the best player in the league. And they didn't even show him getting put drafted into the league. They instead showed like a, you know, a 1 week special offer from Taco Bell.
That's so good.
Which is kind of what it feels like. The you know, is the same equivalent of disrespect that, you know, that gets bestowed on these different categories in the
Oscars. Especially, and thank goodness there's a little more awareness of this now, but those visual effects artists, they're working too
really
hard, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably too hard. In fact, I'm. I've got a family member who's in the visual effects industry, like severely in it.
Yeah.
For big Hollywood movies, and they're gonna send me a bit of merch for something, which I want to leave for a little surprise.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool.
You have my interest.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Shout out Amanda if you're listening.
Yeah, big shout out to Amanda.
We love Amanda.
It's actually,
and we love
but how good they are and how much movies lean on them now. I'm just flashing back to when I saw The Wizard of Oz for the first time, which was last year. And it just knocked my.
That's a funny sentence.
It just knocked.
Because that movie came out in the 30s.
Yeah. But like, it knocked my socks off. You know, I even if you haven't seen it yet, to watch it now, you still basically get the raw emotional impact of what it was
of
to see
color?
It for the first time. Because the first time it's in color. But also. You know, it's fanciful, but they don't have special effects. You know, like all of it is all of the, it's all material, like.
It's funny you mention that, because you know who this reminds me of is old fucking Jonathan, no, wait, what's his name? Christopher Nolan. His brother is Jonathan. And I think in Oppenheimer, which is the movie I've been most excited to see for a couple of years.
Did you see, what was the last one that people didn't like as much? Tenet?
Yeah, I never saw Tenet. Because I saw like whatever I'm saying, I was like, yeah.
But you love him.
Yeah, I do, but I don't know. There's what, well, like, I don't really, like.
You run hot and cold on him.
Yeah. It's not universal appeal.
Was he Dunkirk?
Yeah.
Dunkirk was good, I thought.
Yeah, I really liked that.
But that seems odd to me. You're not a total completionist, but like that's probably the only one of his you haven't seen.
I don't know if that's true. But anyway, Oppenheimer has black and white IMAX in it. Like they shot, and I think it's maybe the first time anyone's ever done that. Like Kodak had to develop special film for them to special stock for them to shoot black and white IMAX. And I'm hoping that like the movie has a similar thing to The Wizard of Oz where it opens in black and white and then you get maybe the bomb, the first test or something.
Yeah.
And so that's when it goes into colour. I don't know. But
wow.
I'm really looking forward to that movie. I just find the whole story of the Manhattan Project so fucking fascinating.
Well, I actually don't know a huge amount about it. Almost
neither
to the
I.
point that I know this is not a very smart way to educate yourself, but I like being able to go to a movie where they're spoon feeding me.
Oh, 100%.
The story, and then by the end of it, I actually know as much as anyone about the thing. And then I'll go on
legit.
Then I'll go on the wiki page. Do you get on wiki after you've seen something?
Maybe after I've seen something I like. I remember, it was such strong memories of this, working in a call center in Sydney when I was 20, 2008, I think, if you can believe it. And just sitting on Wikipedia all day.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know if it was like one of the few websites they hadn't blocked or something, or I just didn't have a good enough imagination to like go elsewhere.
It'll be both. I mean, Wikipedia, it can hold you. It can hold you. It can really hold you.
And it also is visually put together in a way where if someone walks past at work, it's not obvious that you're slacking off, you know.
And you don't have to close down a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
If it's just at a glance, you know, you could be researching anything. It could be relevant to what to you being on task.
Yeah. Potentially.
It's like there's some of the websites. I like to go on a website called theringer.com. I actually don't know what websites to go to.
No one does anymore, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're all gone.
Websites, I used to like love going on websites.
I know.
I feel,
they're all gone now.
Where do you go?
I go on Reddit.
My lovely.
I go on Reddit and that's about it. And Reddit's sort of like a kind of it. But
are you on a funny? Are you on a funny subreddit?
You know.
Are you absorbing information?
Huh?
Are you absorbing information on Reddit?
Yeah. There's funny content on there too, but it's largely kind of dross at this point. It used to be better than it is now.
Is Reddit, where is Reddit on the political spectrum now?
Oh.
Is everyone on
there? Well, it depends on the subreddit. It's kind of the
everyone,
whole point of the
still
website. But neoliberal, I guess, if you want to take it in its totality, like everything that's big enough.
Yeah.
You know? You reckon Trump's going to win again, Guy?
The Reddit guy is still married to Serena Williams, right?
Yeah, but I think he quit Reddit.
Still, he was there at the start. Mm. Nah.
Everyone's, so is Aaron Schwartz. Justice for Aaron Schwartz.
Everyone's done with that guy.
Hmm.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
It's on.
There's only one man who could challenge him. Dwayne.
The Rock.
The Rock Johnson. He needs to put his fucking hand up.
Man.
I didn't want to see him be president, but, you know, if those are the options.
What about McConaughey?
Dude, let's get... Okay, normally I wouldn't allow this sort of extended divergence.
McConaughey's...
But did you see the fucking crazy scam he's, like, involved in now?
No.
He did this 8-hour live video thing for some, like... lifestyle program with a bunch of motivational speakers, and it is off the charts.
Oh wow.
It's nuts.
He's running a similar I feel like he's running a similar game, or has been, to The Rock.
He's
more loosey-goosey.
Oscillating too wildly, and he's fallen into like what stinks of a pyramid scheme to me. It's like it's got it's all the exuberance of like some crypto scam.
I love it. The first thing you need to know, Tim, is this is not a pyramid scheme.
It is like that, man. And they just had this live stream going for hours. It was something between 4 and 8. It might have been like 6 maybe, but it was hours upon hours. And there's bits where he's just like on a drum, and people have clipped it up, obviously. He's just on a drum like reading all the comments that are coming in and shit. It's wild stuff. And I think ultimately it's for some program you do that costs, you know, $8,000.
You've been checking out some pretty interesting videos lately, bro.
I always am.
I'm proud of you.
Well, that's what the internet's for now. Someone else has clipped up.
That's the website. YouTube's the website. YouTube is where you go. It's just, I feel like I used to have relationships to certain writers who I'd discover.
I know. And that's fucking sad.
And I'd become really
sad.
Invested and I, you know. But Shea Serrano is actually a writer who I loved from back on. He used to write for a website called Grantland.
He's a big Twitter guy, right?
He's a big Twitter guy. And he wrote some books I really like. Like he did a hip hop book and he did the book of basketball. Really funny, beautifully illustrated, very thoughtful books. He did a newsletter. And he wrote, I think he wrote a book about Scrubs. I don't know if it got released or if it was just like subscriber only that he sold on, exclusively.
The
like,
show, Scrubs. Yeah.
But he's recent, you know, and I've watched him. And he made a show with Mike Schur, who's the guy behind like The Good Place and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
A show called Primo, which is semi-autobiographical about being a Hispanic teenager. And it's just come out on Amazon Prime. And like he's probably the last example of someone who I felt like I got on.
True.
Ground floor. And yeah. Then I've watched it all happen. And I feel so... Like he's such a positive force for good, and he's fucking super funny as well.
I mean,
but I just have no—I've got no one in the pipe. I've got no one in the developmental pipeline like that. You know,
your draft picks are running on empty.
Yeah,
you got the bench is shallow.
I've emptied the bench.
I would say YouTube is actually a good place for that.
Well, I was going
to
say
because it just offers you up people, and you can literally see how many people are subscribed to their account. So there are some people who you know you
get on early.
You get on early, and you see the journey, and that's cool.
Coldplay after the first album.
Yeah.
Instead of Coldplay after the third or the fourth album.
Imagine being a... It's a hard thing to justify, but you do want to brag about it. If I was into Coldplay day one. It's like, is that good or bad, man?
I was into Coldplay. Coldplay's first two albums still bang. Coldplay, maybe the Vin Diesel-Chris Martin crossover is not so small. I'm sure Chris Martin wanted to make fantastic music and then realized that the music he was making was getting a lot of people's attention. And then was like, okay, how do I keep these people's attention? And there's a compromise you arrive at between the music you want to make and the music that these people will keep listening to. Or do you think Coldplay have total creative freedom and it just so happens that their creative freedom aligns perfectly with commercial pop?
I've got no idea. I don't know. But you know Coldplay better. What do you think?
I think at some point early, I think after the first two albums, I think there was a shift between A Rush of Blood to the Head and X and Y where they were...
they knew how to make money?
They were broadening their appeal, yeah. And I think from there...
And what about Vin Diesel now? Do you think that he, in this franchise, has found something that aligns... completely, but very close
perfect
to
alignment
his...
is very rare. I think it's fulfilling, but I think, you know... I think he has, I don't know if it's another franchise, he has a very serious, a very different performance to give set in a much more grounded world. There's a
you
movie.
You are so right about that. Imagine Vin Diesel in his 60s, which isn't that far away for him.
Yeah.
This next chapter of his acting career could be really special. I'm thinking like almost a version of like a John Lithgow. I'm thinking of John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
Yeah, well, because Interstellar's in my head now.
Imagine John Lithgow as Dom Toretto.
Imagine that.
I just don't know. Yeah, I like where your head's at, but...
Michael Caine, then.
I don't know
I'm
what to tell
you. I'm staying within the Nolan universe.
I don't know what to tell you, laddie. I can't even do Lithgow. I can't do
it's
anyone.
It's hard to do Lithgow. I don't know what his thing, you know...
Lithgow's in New Zealand
right now.
Yeah, I think Lithgow's.
What's he doing?
I think Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush.
You got to be careful not shooting off your mouth because I feel like you get access to special information.
No, this is the internet.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm damn near certain John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush are both in New Zealand.
Well, Jeffrey Rush is Australian, so he's probably here all the time.
Jeffrey Rush, semi-cancelled. He's probably.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously still working. He came to my show in Melbourne this year.
Did he?
Yeah, he was in the crowd.
Hard thing to brag about, isn't it, guy?
I found out after the fact. And then I looked up his Wikipedia page and I found out I can't brag about that at all.
So, folks, sometimes that's how it goes for another watch of Furious 7 with your boys, Timbo and Guy Guy, aka The Flash, aka New Zealand's most recent recipient of the Fred Award Best Show in the New Zealand International Comedy Festival.
For one day only, I'm the funniest person.
And then it all goes away. And then suddenly you were Vin Diesel with your big muscles trying to chase a career in the footsteps of John Lithgow.
Yeah.
It's all confusing new terrain. You don't know what to do.
Slippery slope. Thank you so much for listening. I got to tell you, I've said it in the last episode, I'll say it again. I want to get Jomo in while we're doing Fast 7.
Okay. All right, let's get him on the
blower. I want to see the movie.
Just get him on the couch.
He told me, I spoke to him about the Fast Universe recently because I was telling him I finally saw the movie he was telling us about, which was on the last screening. In terms of Fast 7.
I see. So it's like through your eyes, you finally recognize the one he was describing. Okay, gotcha.
And he said it's his second favorite. His favorite's Fast 5.
Five? I just thought for sure you were going to say one.
No.
Five?
Yeah. I mean, look, man.
Fuck, that's not that far away.
The road is long.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.